Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be with us and to guide us, Father, and so that He can open our hearts and minds to be receptive, that we can learn, Father, how to walk stronger in faith, closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience unto your word. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be here in chapter 7 of Romans. Beginning here with verse 1, you see, this is a good verse as an example of how man, and where he has come up with some of his things contrary to the Word of God. Verse 1 says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he live it." And that's why we've got a lot of them out here telling you, you can just go ahead and do your old life as well as believe in Jesus. No, that's not what this is saying either. And Paul is using this, and he's going to use the analogy of marriage to prove this to you in what he is saying. Now, you see, because there, here in verse 2, he says, "For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth." Ladies, as long as your husband is living, you are bound to that one man. You're not to have any more. He is bound to you. As long as you live, he's not to have another wife either. Now, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. I want you to pay attention here. 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, you see, the parallel of that and what he is getting at is he is fulfilling of the law and all, which really sets you and I free, because when we go to Christ and we accept him and put him on, and we are believers and all in him, and we walk in him and he walks in us, we have died to the law. Now we are free of sin. We don't have that sinful man anymore. Or if we do, then we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You see, you have been freed from the law through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Oh, you see, 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. You see, we don't serve the law anymore. We serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are walking in newness. And we have been delivered from the law, as 6 tells us there. 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. You see, when we talk about the flesh, the spirit and things, we're talking about two different times in our lives. Now, you take, when we talk about in the flesh, means before we were saved. We are delivered from the law. And Paul is still answering the question raised. Actually, it was raised in chapter 6, verse 15. And to read that, we go back and we'll read that just short verse. And it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. You see, that was in chapter 6, verse 15. And we're seeing it again here. Now, he goes on to say here in 7, he says, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. The thing there is, you see, the law is not sin itself, but the law is letting mankind know what sin is, and the law, though, has no power to deliver you out of that. Except you keep every letter of the law. But it does have, it does not have no power to free you of sin. None. That's why they would keep going back and committing the same old sins over and over. And every year they would have to go to the high priest and all and make their sacrifices and be forgiven. And most of it was the same old sin. See, that stopped with Jesus. That's what I keep telling you. We cannot continue to do them same old sins over and over and over. Because in doing that, we would have to be able to go into heaven, bring Jesus out, re-crucify him every time. He would have to become our sacrifice, you see, every time. He done it once and for all. And you can't keep doing it over and over and over and just keep getting forgiven for it. No. Now, 8. But sin taking occasion by the commandment brought in all, in me, all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. And without that law, sin was dead. Because even back in the Old Testament days, before God gave Moses the law to give to the people, they didn't know what was sin and what wasn't. And that's why the Lord God gave Moses the law. That let mankind know what they were not supposed to be doing because it was sin. Paul's telling us here, he says, for I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Think about that. Paul is telling us, I was alive without the law once. There was a time when Paul lived complacent, a complacent life, insensitive to the demands of the law. And he said, I died. When Paul understood the law, he realized that he was accursed. In other words, he was guilty and marked for death because of it, because of that sin. Now, 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. He found that to be unto death. Why? Well, let's take a look here a little. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. He was being deceived. Now, 12. Wherefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. He's talking there. In fact, let's go one more. 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Now, this law in the body is holy, just and good. The law is an expression of God's righteousness and is good. Sin, not the law, produced death. The law shows us that we are helplessly under the control of sin and points us to Christ, the only one who can help us. And why would that be? That he's the only one that can help us. Let's look here at 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You see, the law is spiritual, and the law has the characteristics of the spirit and is constant with the character of God. Paul says, I am carnal. What follows is autobiographical, and designed to reveal the real struggle the apostles expressed in the flesh. This experience is also exemplary, for it shows the problem all believers experience in their battle with sin. But you see, when once we become that child of God, we've got to leave sin alone. It cannot rule in our lives anymore. We can't be doing those same old sins over and over and over, because we have no forgiveness for them. Oh, now, no, that's not what my church teach. Yeah, but that's what, you see, that's what the Bible teaches. Your church may not, but the Bible does. No, no, no. Now, Pastor, you're wrong. Well, let's take a look back here and see if Pastor's wrong. But you see, as I've told you before, it's not Pastor, it's the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And let's, I'm going to start here with, read to you 14 through 27. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. This is what goes on with your forgiveness. 18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For, I want you to listen. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see, when we know the Word of God, we can't be deceived. When they want to take a verse and take it out of context and twist and turn it, add to it and take away from it to make it say what they want it to say. And Satan's an expert at that, by the way. 15. Here in Romans again. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Now, 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Oh. 18. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You know this term here in 18, flesh, this term is used by Paul in a variety of ways. Sometimes it simply refers to the physical body. And sometimes it refers to physical descent. And here it is used as an ethical sense to refer to a condition of being dominated by sin and sinful pursuits. You see, we cannot have that as being a child of God. Because in doing that, we found out that there is no forgiveness. When we know it's wrong, and we go ahead and do it anyway, that is for the children of God. We know that those that are walking in darkness out here, they know they do a lot of things that they have heard all their life is wrong, but they enjoy doing whatever it is, and they continually repeating it over and over and over and over. That's like a drunk. Stay drunk most of his life. He just continually drinking and getting drunk over and over and over and over. Yet he can be forgiven for that. But then once he would become that child of God, he can't go back and do that again. That's gone. And that goes for everything in our life. Now, you take these couples that are living together without being married and doing things they shouldn't be doing. And they're doing it every day, every night. Every day, every night. Yet they can go to the Lord and be forgiven and become a child of God. But then that has to stop. That can go on no longer. Because there'll not be forgiveness for that again. And that's God's word, not mine. That's his. But most pastors today don't have enough courage to stand up and preach it because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. Well, I don't want your blood on my hands. See what I'm saying? Now, we're going to come on down here now. To 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then, 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And you see, that's what we all have to do. We all have to delight. In God, and our trust has to be in him. 23, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, Paul has used himself as an example. And he's asking here in verse 24, who shall deliver me from the body of death? 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. You see, those two are enemies. And that is the war we are in. It takes that mind and heart to control this body. Because this body wants its own way. Now, we have come to the end of chapter 7. And chapter 8 is quite lengthy, so we're not going to get into it this morning. We'll be into that this evening at 6, God willing. Because we're going to be dealing with other things here. We're going to continue on with this sin and all, but then too, we're going to be getting into a couple of other things as we go. All right. Let us begin here now and go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as I close this word, I thank you for this word, Father. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, thank you for the time that we can come together to share this word so that we can grow thereby and grow strong in faith, grow strong in spirit, that we can go out into this world, Father, to do according to your will and your way, walking in your word and your commandment to help others that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some that may have never heard really about him and know nothing. Use us, Father, in great and mighty ways. And Israel, Father, we pray for peace. But Father, we pray mainly for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. Now, Father, this land of ours that has grown so evil because of our leadership, those that are sitting in our government, Father, and bringing evil unto the people, even unto our children. Father, I pray that we all come together and remove them from office and replace them with ones that belong to you, that love you, Father, love the Holy Spirit, love the church and your people, and love this country. And work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and our government put foundation in which it was founded, in that being your word in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, those that study with me, that has become a part, Father, of this ministry that you have placed me over is overseer. This ministry is not mine, it's yours. I am the overseer. But Father, keep them all in health. Keep them all safe through this day. And work within our families, because we all have family members that are in need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, work with them and bring them from darkness to light so that none be lost. Now, Father, bring us back together again this evening at 6 p.m. and back into your word. This is my prayer, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Have a great, great, great day. And walk with God. And He will walk with you. Talk to you this evening, God willing.